Galatians 6:16 through the end, we have the epilogue of this book, or the end of the book of Galatians. And this final paragraph conveys strong emotion that's highlighted at the beginning of verse 11 and at 17. Now, it was customary, as we said before, for Paul to add a note with his own hand. And it's possible that this was even done as a safeguard against forgery, which would fit. However, it's also very possible that, based on the large size of his handwriting, which is a comment he doesn't make anyplace else, that adds considerable weight and poignancy to the passage. It's, I think, a little bit unfruitful to speculate whether the remark tells us something about the state of his eyesight, although it could very well point to that, or about his social standing. I think it is an underlining or an italicizing or a bolding or an emotional kind of a thing, where he writes so large a letter in order to convey the force of his own convictions. These bring attention, and they grab your attention. If you were to look at the original writing that he made. Similarly, Paul clearly addresses the emotions of the Galatians when he appeals to the marks of Jesus. That would be a very emotional thing to think about, especially being contemporary with Jesus. And that he did that for them. But Paul appeals to the marks that he bears on his own body, which we talked about earlier. Once again, he may be, in an offhanded way, alluding to their insincerity as opposed to his sincerity. He reminds his opponents, his readers, that his claims are not in vain. The wounds he suffered because of the faithfulness to Christ are the clearest evidence that the Galatians could possibly have, and they are that which would keep them from doubting his motives. As far as some interpreters have pointed out, this battle with the Judaizers has continued all the way to the end of the letter. And the battle takes on a new twist in verses 12 through 14, where Paul makes clear that what's only been on the surface up to this point, especially when you consider Galatians 4, 17 through 18, is coming to light, to the surface. In short, the apostle goes right straight to the heart of the matter by unmasking the Judaizers' motivation, the real reason their intent on circumcising these Galatians is that, afraid of being persecuted, they also want to make a good impression outwardly, though outwardly is a translation of the literal phrase in the flesh. So through a powerful play on words, Paul calls attention back to the fact that this rite of circumcision is something that is performed on the physical flesh, and that is a clear indication that the Judaizers live in the realm of the flesh. In other words, they are opposed to the Spirit. In spite of their claims, their obedience to the law is at best selective. I mean, they do the ones that they want. But their true purpose is to boast in the fact that they have placed a mark on the flesh of the Galatian Christians, just like they have themselves. At this point, the apostle introduces, I think, one of the most important recurring themes in the letters, That is boasting in Christ. We talked about this last week. The clearest sign of unbelief is to be found in the tendency to boast in ourselves, when the only legitimate grounds for boasting is in Christ. Now, here Paul is more specific. He boasts only in the cross of Christ, the instrument through which Paul himself and the world have been separated from each other. It's the cross of Christ that makes the difference. The world refers to external ordinances or systems, or that which is opposed to Christ and God. But of course, it also includes sin and the old self. Those who are by faith united with Christ partake not only of his death on the cross, but they are also removed from the power of sin. The confession that you have back in verse 14 is repetition of the principle that you find in 5:6, which says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." So now the conclusion of all of this is that circumcision and uncircumcision are said to be of no value. What is valuable, according to the verse we just read, 5:6, is faith working through love. And here it is also like it is in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that which takes place in a new creation or a believer. Once again, Paul reminds us of the character of the message of the gospel. Even more remarkably, the same principle is repeated in 1 Corinthians 7:19. Same idea again, "For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God." A little bit of a twist there. But there, instead of the faith of a new creation, the valuable element is said to be keeping God's commands, which is a statement that helps us put in perspective Paul's negative remarks in Galatians about the law. In any case, the principle of the new creation, or faith working through love, is the true rule by which we should walk, according to verse 16, or that's the one that's referred to in verse 16. I'm talking about 6:16 here. It says, "And those who will walk by this rule," that rule is this idea of faith working through love, not circumcision or uncircumcision. Nothing in the flesh, but that which is spiritual. Clearly, Paul wants us to understand that the rule we should follow is the spirit-led walk or conduct that he described earlier. And that's not very surprising, since the spirit is the clearest evidence of the new creation. Those who walk in this way receive a very special benediction, and that is this idea in verse 16 again, peace and mercy, to which Paul adds the phrase, "even to the Israel of God." The word translated "even" is literally "and." According to some, Paul's drawing attention not only to the church, but also to the nation of Israel as recipients of the benediction. But if that nation, composed of both believers and unbelievers, can truly enjoy peace and mercy, Paul would seem to be contradicting what he's been saying. That is, the true descendants of Abraham are those who believe in Christ and have been delivered from the law. The NIV is probably most correct in translating the word even or namely, even though that meaning is not very common. But if so, one can appreciate the power of this statement as an argument against the Judaizers. The true Israel lives by a different principle from that of submission to the Mosaic law. Then the benediction of verse 18 appears to be nothing but a little bit of a variant, and it is a notable variation. In addition to the word brothers in an emphatic position at the end, it seems a little unexpected, and it reveals the intensity of Paul's pastoral heart. In effect, the word kind of even softens the severity of the whole letter by stressing Paul's confidence in these Galatians, that they are indeed truly God's people, and that therefore they'll respond to the truth as they should. I love the end of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. He commends them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is almost as if to say, but we expect better things of you. Of course, because you are known to Paul, in this case, to be believers. Well, that's the end of the book and the end of this study. We'll go on to something new next week. I don't know what that will be, but let me know if you have anything you'd like to look into as far as a book of the Bible or some sort of subject matter. I appreciate it. I say that to you guys a lot, but nobody ever says what they want to look at. So I'll wait with bated breath. And until that time, when we see each other again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Hopefully you'll have a good Thanksgiving, and we'll see you on Sunday, Lord willing.